الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Ulama Ikram, respected brothers in Islam, whenever a nikah takes place in this masjid on a Jummah occasion, then the desire comes in the heart to speak something on nikah. We have our learned alim, Hazrat Maulana, here, and he was the appropriate person to have spoken or given the talk, but since he has declined, so therefore whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wishes and wills, we will discuss in the short time that we have. Brothers, we must remember one thing very, very clearly, that whether it is the earning of one's livelihood, what we term as tijara, or business, risk and sustenance, all these things what a person engages in, it is after the fulfillment of other farais. Kasbul halali farizatun ba'dal fariza. That after a person has fulfilled the other farais, the other things which are compulsory, the other things which are obligatory, then it is also farz to earn a livelihood, to earn halal risk and sustenance. In the same way, nikah or all the other aspects of deen which do not fall under the compulsory or obligatory category, they all come after the fulfillment of that which is farz. What is farz comes first, then the wajibat, then the sunnat muakkada, then the ghair muakkada, then after that mustahab, nafil, etc. So what happens is that we are all very concerned sometimes about the sunnat or about the nafil. There are many people who will make zikr. Thousands of times they will read some tasbihat, or they will engage in ishraq, chash, tahajjud and awwabin salat, or they will go for umrah upon umrah, or they will go for hajj upon hajj. But when it comes to that which is farz or which is wajib, then there we find them very, very negligent. So with regards to nikah also, a hadith comes to mind in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that a mu'min, a person who is a believer in Allah, and who is a believer in Allah? The person who has recognized his Allah, and he has committed himself, he has pledged him that he is going to obey none but Allah in all aspects of his life, not just one department of his life. The person who has recognized that he is a created being, it is Allah who gave him the ruh and the soul, and he is walking with that soul that Allah has put into his body. He is seeing with those eyes, he is hearing with those ears, he is speaking with that tongue because of the soul that Allah has put into his body. So therefore it is obligatory upon him to obey and worship that one Allah, to fulfill all the ahkam of Allah. So that which is farz comes first. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that after taqwa Allah, that the person who has got the fear of Allah at heart, the fear of Allah ta'ala which is born out of the love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because Allah is our creator, he has blessed us with so much of ni'mat, unlimited. So therefore we must have great love for such a creator. But we must at the same time fear that he is that Allah in whose power all things lie. He is the one who can draw the carpet from beneath our feet. He is the one who can bless us with plenty of ni'mat, but due to disobedience, he can shatter the life of the person. That in spite of everything, the person can suffer a life of misery. In spite of everything in his hands, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of comforts, and all kinds of luxuries. But still Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can make that person's life a misery, because misery or happiness, satisfaction, contentment, all this has to do with the heart. So if Allah ta'ala, who is the creator of happiness, will put happiness into the heart, then we will get happiness in everything else. And if Allah, who is the creator of misery, if He puts misery into the heart, then in spite of everything in our hands, inside the heart there will be depression, there will be some kind of anxiety, restlessness and worries, and this will lead to disaster in the person's life. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of a person's wealth or poverty to become His wali. It's not necessary that everybody has to become very poor and everyone has to live in a hut and everyone has to eat dry bread to become the wali of Allah Ta'ala. In the midst of all riches and in the midst of all wealth, the person can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And in the midst of poverty, the person can still be a person who is detested or disliked by Allah. And on the other hand, in the midst of poverty, the person can be a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah does not look at colors of the faces. He does not look at which region you come from. He does not look at which nationality or tribe you belong to. He does not look at how much of wealth a person possesses. Allah ta'ala merely looks at what taqwa the person has in his heart. And Allah ta'ala himself says, "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." In that ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you may have heard on many, many occasions, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." So Allah ta'ala is the one who created you out of a single male and a female, and then He divided you into tribes, into nationalities, into clans, into families. And for what purpose? So that you may recognize each other. But in the eye of Allah, only that person is held in esteem who has got this taqwa. So taqwa is farz. After that nikah, after that tijara, after that everything else. But this taqwa, meaning the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, all the faraiz, wajibat, whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered, to fulfill all that and to restrain oneself from everything that is haram and evil, that is farz. It is compulsory first. And then after that, everything else. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that person who has already got this taqwa, that he is obeying Allah Ta'ala, he is obeying Allah Ta'ala, he is restraining himself from everything that is haram. Then after that person hasn't acquired anything better in this world. Because the sahabas, they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that guide us, give us some indication of which wealth in this world is a wealth that we should acquire. Of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that don't earn clothing or don't earn money or don't earn gold and silver. He did not stop us and prevent us from that. But he says that if you are looking for something really good in this world, besides all these other things, they are also good in their own places. Ni'mal malu salih li rajuli salih. That if the wealth is good and it is in the hands of a good person, then it's a very good thing. Because that person can then build masjids, he can build madrasas, he can take care of the widows often, he can go to the Hajj, for Hajj, he can go for Umrah. He can do lots of good things with that good wealth. So what we are saying is that he did not say that you must not acquire that. But what he said is that if you are looking for something really precious, some valuable commodity in this world that you want to acquire, then it is a woman. It is a woman in your marriage. What kind of a woman? That woman, in amaratha ata'athu, that if this husband has to order her, has to ask her to do something, then she obeys him. She does not back answer. Of course, it is only in those things which Shariat has made permissible. And the husband also must not have a hakimana mizaj, meaning that he must not try to use the power and force and authority that a policeman has, or some person with a whip has, or some person with a gun in his hand has. That do this, do this, do this. With great care, with great love, with great affection, if he nicely tells her do this or do that, then she does not find excuses, she does it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's no time for explanation. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if this person, in nazaratha sarrathu, that when he looks at her, then she pleases him. It pleases him to look at her. It does not mean, or it is not the opposite, that when the person goes into the house, the moment he looks at his wife, then straight away he gets into a rage and he wants to enter into an argument and fight. No, the moment he enters into the house, then when he looks at her, it pleases him. She pleases him. And وَإِنْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَيْهَا أَبَرَّتْهُ. And if he has to take some qasam, that you will do this today, something that is permissible, and out of love the person tells somebody like that, if I love somebody dearly, then only I can say a thing, or somebody who is a great and a close friend of mine, then I can say, no, I know you will do it for me today. And that person too will feel happy and he will go out of his way to do it, because there's love. So here this wife, he has got so much of love for him, and he has got so much of love for this wife, that if he has to take a qasam like this, then the wife will not disappoint him, she will fulfill that. And the fourth thing is that if this person has to disappear, if he has to go away somewhere, if he has to go on a journey, then this woman looks after herself also, and she looks after the wealth of the husband also. That means she cares for her body, that she does not indulge in anything that is haram, she does not engage in adultery or fornication, she does not allow anybody access into that home who is going to be the haram for her to meet and discuss matters. And in the same way, the wealth of the husband also, that woman takes great care over that wealth, that she does not just abuse that wealth, she does not misuse that wealth, she does not give it away to her friends. Now here this is a hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is discussing the sifats of a wife, that these are the good qualities of a wife. And if a person finds a wife like this, then it is the best wealth in the world. الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا مَتَى وَخَيْرُ مَتَى الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. That everything in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created for use of the person. And the best wealth of this world, the best thing that the person can use is a wife. That means for the protection of his iman, and for the safeguarding of his nafs from falling into haram, then what can be better than a wife? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith described outwardly the sifats of a wife. And you and I, we have got the habit that when we read this hadith, then straight away we'll go and open that kitab front of the wife and say, this is the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. See what he says here. That when I walk into the house, you must be pleasing to me. When I order you something, you must fulfill it. And at the same time, when I go out somewhere, then you must look after this, my wealth also and your person also. And if I take a qasam, then you must not betray, you must not let me down. Alhamdulillah, that is the hadith. But this is what I have been discussing repeatedly in my majlises in which we discuss the nikah in detail, that everybody is trying to read the book of rights, that I go and read out the book of rights, that this is your right, that this is what you should be doing, this is my right over you, that you must fulfill these rights. So everybody is going by the book of rights, but we do not want to go by the book of ihsan, we do not want to go by the book of good character and etiquette and morals, and doing that which is more than, or fulfilling more than another's right. If the husband says, I will go out of my way to fulfill the rights of the wife, then there is no question of any opposition, because he is going out of his way, he is giving more than her rights. But unfortunately, the rights that we think that the wife has over us is to take her to the cinema, take her to the theater, take her to the casino, show her where the Wild Coast is and Sun City is, and afterwards in the early days of the married life, now that the wife has become used to that style of living, that high standard of living, and those luxuries, and those kinds of sins, then suddenly this husband now sits in some majlis, or he goes out in the jamaat, or he sits in some buzruk sohbat, or the person goes to some madrasa, and now suddenly this person changes his life. But the wife hasn't changed her life. She hasn't had that opportunity. She hasn't been into the company of any pious and righteous person. So now there's a clash and an opposition. And this is where the husband then says, but she is demanding these type of rights which are not her rights. Indeed, they are not her rights. But who is to be blamed? So whatever it is, at the end of the day, again, it will boil down to one thing. And that is that as husbands, we will have to lower ourselves. And we are not lowering ourselves, or by lowering ourselves, we are not humiliating ourselves. We must understand that. In the fulfillment of those rights which Shariat itself has ordered, when we lower or humble ourselves, we are not humiliating ourselves. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala realizes and knows that this servant of mine, he has got strength in his hands and power in his body. And if this servant of mine has to give her one slap, she will go flat onto the ground. And he knows that this husband has also got the power of talaq. He's got the gun of talaq with him. And if he fires the bullets of talaq, then this woman is going to be divorced forever and ever, and she will suffer the consequences. Allah Ta'ala knows what strength and what power this husband has But in spite of that, this husband is lowering himself for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, just as my daughter is in somebody's marriage, and I would like that my son-in-law treats my daughter in the best of manner. In fact, if he has to just say something, then I will run to some mawli sahab for taweez, that give me some taweez that my son-in-law's mouth gets shut. Or the person becomes like a lamb in front of my daughter. That is the kind of taweezes we will look for. So just as we would like that our son-in-law should treat our wives, our daughters in the best of manner, in the same way this woman who has come into our marriage, she is the daughter of someone, she is the sister of someone. So therefore we should give her the best of treatment. And even if people have to say that this person is all the time supporting his wife, of course only if it is in halal matters, if it is in permissible things. In other things, if she is demanding haram, and now this husband has changed his life, but she is saying, I must have a television, otherwise I get depressed and I get bored. So the husband must tell her that the television, if it costs 2,000 rands, if it had been my past life, I would have bought you the 2,000 rand television. But now instead of the 2,000 rand television, I will give you a 3,000 rand diamond ring. Give her something better in return, but please her and make her your wife. Because if the home is going to be comfortable and pleasant, then the family that is going to grow up, the children that are going to grow up in that home, they also will grow up in a very pleasant atmosphere, and they will have character, they will have akhlaq, they will have morals, they will have behavior, they will have everything. But if the children are seeing World War III all the time in the house, all the time there's fisticuff, there's swearing, and there's all kinds of abuse of the wife taking place by the husband, meaning the children of this, the parents of these children, then believe me, brothers, we know what is the consequence of that. Every day without fail, I can take qasam in this masjid, there's hardly a day that goes past without a few people complaining that they are having problem with their wives. So what else is the solution? If we are going to show our authority, is it going to solve the problem? It's not going to solve the problem. Even if she is wrong, but there is a way of solving the problem. We just have to lower ourselves. If we are not going to do that, then we must be prepared for a life that is miserable. Because the person whose home is miserable, then he will have to stay outside the house. But at the same time, we must understand that first comes taqwa Allah. That the person must have Allah Ta'ala in his heart. He must know that I am obliged, or I am accountable to my Allah. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching whether I am unjust or it is the wife that is unjust. If we are unjust and we are committing injustice, of course I have mentioned this many times, that these things we don't say in front of those women. Because we are going to tell those wives, then they may take advantage. But when we are talking to the men, then we tell you that even if they are wrong, overlook it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his dealings with his wives. Look at his behavior with his wives. How tolerant, how understandable, how much he cared for them, how much he loved them. Yet at the same time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the greatest contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in the same way here, that we have to first fulfill Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam and orders. If we are going to have taqwa, we are going to abstain or restrain ourselves from haram first. And we are going to say, it is Allah's hukam that I must do this. It is Allah's order that I must do this. It is Allah's order I must not do this. It is Allah's order I must not do that. Then Allah Ta'ala will put the love into the hearts of those women for the husbands, into the children's heart for the parents, and into the brothers' hearts for the sisters, and for the sisters' hearts for the brothers. But when we are going to disobey Allah Ta'ala, the first azab of that is quarrels, arguments, disputes. Because this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah Ta'ala that this must not happen in my ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was told by Allah that there must be some azab and some punishment for the ummah, and this is the first punishment. So therefore, when we are going to disobey Allah, then irrespective of what we are going to try, it is not going to work. Nigahe aqarba badli mizaj dosta badla. Mizaje nigahe aqarba badli mizaje dosta badla, nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Mizaje aqarba badli, those who were relatives, those who were family members, those who were very close in family relationship, they also distanced themselves from me. And my friends who were close to me, they also became my enemies. Nigah ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. When Allah Ta'ala turned his glance of rahmat and mercy away from me, then the whole world turned away from me. So if we want the whole world to love us, if we want our wives to love us, if we want our children to love us, if we want our brothers and sisters to love us, then there is no other solution to that problem except that first we must love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as they should be loved. And how Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be loved, now that is a whole bayan that we can make, or we can carry on all our life. and we cannot complete, but it is simple as this: restrain ourselves from all things displeasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will become muttaqi. As simple as that. To restrain ourselves from all things haram, we must also have that yaqeen that only those things Allah Ta'ala has made haram, which is harmful to our individual selves, or harmful to our families, or harmful to our society, or harmful to the nation. Only harmful things Allah Ta'ala has made haram. All things which are good for us, that Kareem Allah, who gave us iman without us asking, who gave us sight without us begging, who gave us hearing and speech without us begging. So that Kareem Allah, why should He make haram for us things that are good for us? So it's only that which is kharab, which is haram, which is bad for us, which is Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram. And when we are going to restrain ourselves from that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will change the conditions in our favor. That is the simple message. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and give the entire ummah the tawfiq to understand that the only way of getting peace of mind, satisfaction and contentment in our hearts is to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way to do that is restrain from everything that's haram and do all which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered.